Welcome to Minority Corner
with an Eke
and James. Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only more black, gay,
and ladylike.
Ooh. Everybody. So, here's the deal. Aneke and I are separated this week in some sort of weird space-time continuum. So, we are going to Frankenstein the fuck out of this week's Minority Corner's greatest hits episode. So, we couldn't record a brand new full episode together this week. I don't want to go into too much detail right now, but Sunday morning night, I experienced a tragic loss, and on top of that, it was dealing with the New York Police Department and just the realities of being black in America. I do want to share my experience with all of you because I think it's relevant to everything that we talk about here on the podcast. It's just that right now, I am still in a place of healing and recovering and processing from everything that went on this past Sunday. So I am safe, know that. I don't mean to be dramatic at all. I am okay. I am safe. And I'll go into more detail this week. So, or next week. So Aneke, my beautiful partner in crime, she was completely understanding of all of this, and we decided let's come up with this greatest hits episode. So before we get to that, I just want to give you a heads up of what's going to happen in this episode and what you can experience. So we'll have a bit of episode 6 where I talk about the history of the slang term Mandingos, and specifically where one black queer college student who is now in prison is being affected by that term, where it comes from, and also he's dealing with the stigma of what it means to be HIV positive that we're still dealing with in this country. And we also have a bit of episode 11 where Aneke shocked us with a real-life actual game called Slave Tetris and how it's infecting the tech community, and possibly your smartphones or whatever the fuck y'all are using. I also have from episode 5, it is Aneke and our favorite Quizlet Corner about Greta Garbo and some crazy shit that Aneke, I think, is still recovering from in amazement. And Aneke and I, we have our first on-air drunk fight about Tesla in a historic history corner and going old school with it from episode 5. And my favorite, topping it all off, ending with a story about a woman and her harrowing tale involving giving birth in the mountains, placenta, forest fires, bees, and bears. But before we get to any of that, we are going to kick it over to Aneke. She wanted to make sure that you guys walk away with something new. She's got a She's got some awesome reading material to catch y'all up on. Queer history, Latino history, Luke Cage, she's got you covered. And also next week we'll be getting into, if you've not seen it, check it out, Ava DuVernay's 13th movie, which is about mass incarceration. Definitely check it out. I'll be talking about Birth of a Nation, the film that came out, and a lot of the controversy around it. And also we'll probably be touching upon the debates, if you're nasty, I know you are, the end of the trilogy. It seems like black folks were a little bit absent from the conversation this time around. Nothing about Black Lives Matter at this last debate. And also, is the queer movement, are we now obsolete on the political stage? We'll break into that. There was zero conversation about that. Have we become normalized? Are we now just another voting block? I don't know. So hold on to your butts as you experience the best of Minority Corner, and we'll both be back next week. I love you. Adore y'all. We both do. Be fabulous this Friday and spread as much love and life as you can. This ain't a dress rehearsal, y'all, and we have such a limited time here on this planet. So see you all next week, but enjoy the best of Minority Corner.
All right. Hello, hello, Corner Kids. It is your lovely local librarian, Aneke Fitz-Clark, and it's just me. And when it is just me here, of course, you know how I like to do. I'm going to get a little academic for you guys. I would like to set you guys up with just a short little Minority Corner syllabus. Now, I have found a lot of things on the interwebs, and I thought it would be kind of interesting to give you a nice little rundown of some reading you guys can do if you want to get more acclimated into, you know, some of the stuff that we talk about on the podcast. I did a little searchy-roo, and I found this really cool website that offers old syllabuses for queer classes from like Ivy League schools. I will post the link, so please check out the link either on Maximum Fun page or on our website. If you just Google Minority Corner, it should pop up. Maybe I'll throw them up on our Facebook page as well. But I pulled a couple. This is all in order for to honor Queer LGBTQ Month, which has just started. It started on October 11th. And I think that is to honor National Coming Out Day. So I have a couple of books from the class that Stanford offered in the spring of 2015 for their queer history class. The first one is by Terry Castle. It's called The Apparitional Lesbian, Female Homosexuality and Modern Culture. Another one you might want to check out, Michel Foucault, The History of Sexuality, Volume 1, Introduction. If you went to UCSC like I did, then y'all know Michel Foucault. He is all over the place. There is also Wanging Kang, Obsession, Male Same-Sex Relations in China, 1900 to 1950s. And then the last one I'm going to give you guys for this section of our Minority Corner syllabus is Regina Kunzel, Criminal Intimacy, Prison, and the Uneven History of Modern American Sexuality. Now that takes up that portion of our Minority Corner syllabus. The next one we're going to move on to is we're going to honor Hispanic Heritage Month, which just ended. It's a weird one. It straddles 2 months. It starts in September and then it ends in October. Just yet another. They can't even give them the whole goddamn month. I'm just rolling my eyes over here, just rolling all the way back. I see my brain. I'm rolling all the way forward now. And I found an awesome article on feministing.com. They have posted some of their articles which cover this topic. The first one is, As a Latina, I Have a Problem with Hispanic Heritage Month by Juliana Brito Schwartz. Okay, and the next one is Decolonize Hispanic Heritage Month or Get Rid of It by Adriana Matista. Another one is Hispanic Heritage Month May Be Imperfect, But It's Necessary by Priscilla Dorcas Moriocas Rodriguez. And the last one I'm going to give you for this segment of our syllabus is When Hispanic Heritage Month is a Time to Grieve by Barbara Sotastia. And the last part that I'm going to give you is because y'all know I am Black and I am a nerd, so I can't address that. I have to address that part, y'all. So I found this really cool article on blacknerdproblems.com, which is like the title of my memoirs, basically. And they have a Luke Cage syllabus. Now, if y'all haven't seen Luke Cage, they do a lot of close-ups on books and a lot of close-ups on, you know, Black culture. And it's just woven beautifully throughout the whole damn show. And they provided on this website, blacknerdproblems.com, a list of books that you can read if you want to follow up on some of the tones that they touch on the show, and here's a couple of them. First one is called Acres of Skin, Human Experiments at Holmesburg Prison. It's by Alan Hornblum. Now, this is all about these radical experiments that were tested on Black men in prisons. This has been happening throughout history. It is crazy. Check it out. There's all sorts of different crazy shit that they've been doing to us. So that is a great place to start if you're interested in that topic. The next one is Cutting Along the Color Line, Black Barbers and the Barbershops in America by Quincy T. Mills. Now, this one is applied to Luke Cage because it all circles around the barbershop. The first episode starts them right off in that barbershop talking like they normally do. It is a part of Black culture. You go get your hair done. You also hear about what's going on in the world. And you get your jokes. You get your bootleg CDs, all of that. So this kind of talks about how important Black barbershops are in America and how it's almost like a safe haven for the African-American community. Another one I'm going to tell you about is called Playing the Numbers, Gambling in Harlem Between the Wars by Shane White. Running numbers in New York was huge back in the day and a huge part of Black culture. This is going to be a good book right about that, all about the underground scene, which is heavily involved in Luke Cage, kind of the start of it. The next one is Negroes and the Gun, The Black Tradition of Arms by Nicholas Johnson. Now, I really wanted to cover that too because, you know, it covers a lot of issues that are going on with the world and our community today. Now, the books that I mentioned in our Minority Corner syllabus, you can probably find them on, not probably, definitely find them on Amazon. Go to your local library. I'm a librarian. We offer books for you guys. Utilize it. If you don't have a library card, march your little feet down to the library, show them a piece of mail, and they will give you one for free. And the articles, I will post the links. I will post all of these different syllabi, I should say. All right. Love you guys. Bye. Welcome back to the corner. Hi.
Hey, girl. So, I have a song to get us into our next corner.
Okay, I'm ready.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about racism, too.
Uh-oh.
And posophobia.
Oh.
Going to prison.
Whoa.
Fuck.
This is intense.
Yeah, that song took a turn.
Okay. That right. Escalated quickly.
Hold on to your butts.
But held.
Okay. So, Michael Johnson.
Yes.
Not to be confused with...
Jackson?
Magic Johnson.
Magic Jackson.
Or
Johnson.
Michael Jordan.
Okay.
This own person who's their own person.
Yes.
So I'm going to give you a little bit of a story of some current events of what's going on with this guy named Michael Johnson. He is a college wrestler.
Okay.
He is 23.
Okay.
And back in 2013, he was arrested because it was believed, I'm doing air quotes, well, it did actually happen. He was charged with recklessly infecting other people with HIV.
This guy!
Right. There's so much to this story.
Oh my God.
So, but Michael Johnson, also to let you know, like, he's Black also.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so, yes. So he was, so he just recently had his trial. And so this is back in 2013. He was arrested and he was put into prison. He's been in jail ever since.
Okay.
He was awaiting his trial for like 18 months.
They had his,
yeah, right?
It's a long time.
Can you imagine, like, you're not even like convicted yet, but you still have to like wait
for a year and change.
I mean, this is why the system is just so incredibly fucked up.
Yeah.
He was found guilty. And he has been sentenced to 30 and a half years in prison.
So did he know that he was infecting people?
So I'm going to tell you all of these little
details.
Here's the thing. And this is a kind of even goes with just like how media for, keep in mind, he's a Black gay man,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
And how there's probably going to be some bias along the way.
Totally.
In this whole entire process. And this is at a college in, I believe it's in Missouri. Indianapolis is in Missouri, right?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Just tweet at us.
Tweet us. Tell us the right answer, please.
So, so the thing about this whole entire situation is
right.
that when probably the problem with convicting and a lot of people who work with HIV and AIDS and a lot of activists and people doing a lot of work in that field.
Yeah.
A lot of the problem with criminalizing things like HIV and AIDS is that it makes people who, for one, not want to go get tested.
Yes.
It also will make people not want to disclose, like, information. It creates a lot of fear and phobia around
totally.
The whole entire thing. Because there was this one guy who said, Mayo Schreiber, who is the deputy director of the Center for HIV Law and Policy, and he's a longtime criminal defense attorney.
Mm-hmm.
He was pretty much saying that the criminals, he said... Because this law is based on a law that was put in effect in 1988.
Ooh, not... Things
are different.
Things have changed.
Right, exactly. And that's what he was saying is that, you know, today with proper treatment, HIV is a chronic manageable disease, and those with HIV can expect to live a full, healthy life.
Right.
Yet, violation of the Missouri law is a Class A felony, with a sentencing ranging from 10 to 30 years or life imprisonment. Other Class A felonies include murder or child abandonment resulting in death. Punishing Michael Johnson as if he is a murderer because state officials have failed to address a severely outdated, irrational criminal law is not fundamentally unfair. It is barbaric.
Wow. I have a question for you.
Yeah, I have answers.
Okay, good.
I hope I do.
Well, you probably got some answers.
I did some research.
So I feel like there's a line for me.
Yes.
If you know you are positive and you're not doing anything about it,
yes,
and then you just have sex, I think that's reckless.
Absolutely. And I think that's why this whole entire situation is a little bit more complicated. There's actually a timeline of this that like he had sex with the first person that came like and was like, he did this.
Mm-hmm.
First of all the people that came and said he did this, they were all white.
Okay.
Right? But the timeline is that the person began to get sick in, I think it was January 2013.
Okay.
They did not go to the cops until May 2015.
Why so long?
And then the cops didn't arrest him in class until October 2013.
Oh.
So there's sort of like this weird sort of long drawn out process. And
that's a weird timeline.
What he said, he eventually did know. I mean, there's like a certain window, like he said many things. He has said many things. First of all, I do also want to remind that like you're talking about a sexual act between two consenting adults.
Right.
And you know, a lot of the conversations is all about he didn't put a condom on. There are two people involved in this situation.
Exactly.
And that, I mean, it's risky to have unprotected sex with anybody, but especially like someone that you just met off of, they were meeting on Grindr, someone that you met off of Grindr, and you're going to just, you know, trust them.
Yeah, dude, wrap it up.
Absolutely.
And like, if you're with somebody and you're not the one wrapping it up, ask the other person to wrap it up.
Yeah. I mean, I am not fucking anybody without nothing. No.
Put
your
condom on, man.
Put it on. Just give a little blow. Just give a little.
Yeah, a little bit of.
Licker. You might get some gonorrhea, but hey, a little shot in the butt ain't never hurt nobody. So
it's true. Wrap it up, everyone.
That's the hugest like message too about this too. And again, there was like, you know, it's two consenting adults.
This is very true.
So Stephen Thrasher from BuzzFeed did this huge long article about this whole entire thing.
I think I saw it.
It's really intense.
Yeah.
And I think it points to this whole entire larger conversation. There's a lot of things that are happening involved in this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's not so quick. It's so interesting that, like, you know, this one moment in time happening now is the effects and causes of so many intersectionalities and biases and histories. It's so rich of information.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do I'll eventually take you on my own mini history corner. It won't be as well as yours.
Okay. I'd probably be better.
My DeLorean's not as fancy as yours.
We got matching DeLoreans.
That's
okay.
True. They're cute.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Thrasher said this quote. He said, "Indeed, the community around Johnson, his sexual partners, and many of his fellow students and his university turned a blind eye to HIV until it had the perfect scapegoat. A gay, hypersexual, black wrestler with learning disabilities who went by the name of Tiger Mandingo."
That's right. Why?
So I want to unpack all of this.
So much.
There's
to
so many
unpack.
Things. I know. Okay.
That is
hold
a
on
brimming
to your
full backpack.
Yes. So there's so many things. So for one, okay. So he's also dyslexic and is borderline like illiterate.
Aww.
So there's so many like, and he went to college. He went to community college, and he. His dreams were, Johnson's dreams were to, he knew he wasn't the smartest guy, but he knew he loved wrestling, and he really wanted to go off to the Olympics. He had a dream of going off to that, and even said, like, this is, like, in the interview that happened, like, a year ago, and he, like, had such faith that he would get out of this, because he didn't, really understand all the situations of what was going on.
Yeah.
And when he was told that he was HIV positive, nobody really explained to him of like...
what he had to do.
Yes, that you are, you know, legally contract, like it is a misdemeanor, or it's a felony if you don't tell people your HIV positive status, right? So, and he also like, yeah. So Tiger Mandingo. So let's talk about, let's break down his name, right? Tiger Mandingo. Tiger comes from, we're gonna, yes.
Okay.
Tiger comes from this lucky t-shirt that he wore, like, as a wrestler.
Oh, like Ed Hardy?
Who?
You know Ed Hardy, where it was all, like, Lucky Brand, kind of, like, never mind.
Well,
lucky as in good luck.
Oh, yes, yes,
sorry,
yes.
Okay,
it was a
sorry.
Lucky thing.
Sorry,
yeah, like,
sorry.
You have, like, a lucky, like, jock strap or a lucky,
okay,
like,
yeah.
Toenail.
So it was his shirt.
It was like a shirt. So he went by the name of Tiger Wrestling. And then he always knew when he was a kid that he was gay.
Mm-hmm.
And but he grew up in like a black church and that sort of stuff. But yeah. Like what I love about like he wasn't really necessarily like on the DL, but he was also like in the community like at his college that he eventually went to. Like you couldn't even have a gay straight alliance there up until 2010. They had to be called the Spectrum Alliance.
Oh my goodness.
It's kind of the community. And so like, and also I'm going to get to this, but we're going to talk later on about like, what does the actual school do in terms of educating about safe sexual practices?
Right. Cause when you don't talk about it, things are going to blow up in your face.
Absolutely. So, so Mandingo, he got into like the queer ball, like the black queer balls.
Okay,
you know about
yeah,
these?
Yeah, yeah.
So the black queer balls are like these sort of black gay gatherings where men, that's where they do a lot of like the voguing stuff.
Go rent Paris is Burning
Paris
audience.
Is burning. Yes, yes, girl, yes. So that's what, he got involved in that, but for when he would go up and compete, there's videos.
Yeah.
His body is amazing.
Okay.
And so when he would go up to compete, it was more like a muscle man competition.
So he wasn't like doing like a performance. He was kind
no,
of just
he
like,
was, like just in some like little thong thing.
Oh, he was
and
mandingoing
just,
it.
Well, then people gave him this name, Mandingo. And so what his understanding of what a Mandingo was is the same thing that like Quentin Tarantino has. It's this idea of a black slave who's pitted against other slaves to have to like fight. And they're like the strong.
That's where it comes from.
Right. But, well, the Merriam Dictionary version.
Oh.
Merriam.
Paging Merriam.
Merriam-Webster. What do you say? She says, Merriam-Webster says that it's a member of people of Western Africa in or near the upper Niger Valley. And so there was that movie that came out, Mandingo, back in 1975.
Okay.
That is about it's a blaxploitation film.
Uh-huh.
It's about a West African slave. It's very violent. It's incredibly, like, over the top.
Yeah.
And it was based on this idea that these, like, slave studs would have to impregnate the other female slaves and then fight other slaves.
Mm.
But, like, there's one part of that is incorrect, that there were actually these, like, slave sex farms.
Yeah, we were breeded.
They were breeding
them. Sad, awful
truth. But they were never, slaves were not pitted against each other because they would not want to risk
right,
the property.
That's your property. You don't want it messing each other up.
Nope, that's their property. And so the whole entire, just, if you, Mandingo, the whole entire, it's fucked up. Fucked up. Have you heard about this movie? It's fucked
up.
Well,
yeah, and that's where we get the term in black culture to call, like, a He-Man black guy Mandingo.
Right. And it's this whole entire, like, hyper-sexualization of that the black man is this hyper-sexualization that, you know, he's big-dicked and only wants to do is fuck.
Yeah, and he's really oafy. Like, he's like, ugh,
and that this,
sex.
And this image has been around forever, for centuries. And so that's why when you have somebody going into a black church and shooting them up because you're saying that all you do is rape our women.
That's
so
where it comes from.
So you have this, like, long history of any time, this idea that actually when black folks have sex with white people, it's a crime.
It's dangerous.
It's dangerous, right? Where there are other stories of, and instances where he's not the only person that is having unprotected sex. And you know, people that were hitting him up were the people that were like,
ooh, I want that.
Yes. And they were saying, like, I want you to fill me with your black seed, you raging bull. Like,
that's
shit like
a lot.
That.
That's made, that made me. That's
too much.
That's too much for me.
People wanted to
I'm innocent.
And you know what? Then, like, he's had conversations, like, they did an interview with his mom, and, like, he was like, they wanted this from me. That, like, that's what they wanted from him.
Yeah.
And that, like everybody wanted him for his, like, body, his, right. his strength and everything he represented mm-hmm. until he had HIV. And all of a sudden, he became sort of, like, this criminal. Mm-hmm. So I think on many hands, you have this criminalization of Black sexuality. I think you have this criminalization of still if you are HIV, you are shunned and othered. Do you know what is fucked up that the university did?
What do they do?
Well, I think in some ways they tried to mean well, but they pretty much broadcasted to the university that if you've had any intimate interaction with this student, picture.
No!
Go get tested. And so what happened was all these, like, then there was local HIV, the St. Louis Effort for AIDS reached out to the university to come out and do, they were going to do talks and
great, yeah, education.
The university never reached back to them.
What? This is the perfect opportunity to educate your students.
So here's the real villain in all of this is, like, that university and that community, I think, should be absolutely fined. I think they are going after the wrong person. This kid was actually 20 years old when this was happening.
Oh, he was young.
And a lot of this is a lot of he said, like, we don't really know. And, like, also, like, he's really young and kind of has the mindset of a child. Mm. How much was sex really even talked about to him? And they don't allow, there's no condoms on campus.
Oh my God.
There's no free condoms. At UC Santa Cruz, you couldn't go two steps.
You're tripping over condoms.
Tripping.
I know. You want a condom? Here, have a condom.
A condom. Oh my God, I thought it was a lollipop, but it was a condom.
I guess I'll use the other one.
One of the people who works at the university quoted, the reason why there's no condoms, the availability of free condoms is not related in any manner to this story. It seems that no amount of additional information about HIV would have deterred his behavior.
Mr.
Johnson is responsible for what he did, and that is where the responsibility lies. Sensible persons will not accept placing the blame elsewhere. If convicted, he will be responsible for those crimes.
See, this is where I get so angry, because people want to put blame on one, I don't want to let him off the hook. He made a mistake, which is true, but he came to his mistake through misinformation and through a sense of his sexuality and his body being his prime, what he loved about himself and what was his self-esteem. He wasn't good at school, but he was good at being a wrestler, which is very physical.
Yes.
And he's very good at being sexy.
And everybody's giving him this name. Praise. Like, you're a mandingo. You're sexy.
Man.
You're big. And everybody wants to fuck him.
Right. So that's where he came to his conclusion. But at the same time, one, he should have wrapped it up.
Absolutely.
He should have told him, but he didn't. It's complicated.
But there are some instances with some people that he says that he did tell them.
See, there we go. And that's the other problem. Two, it's the problem of the people that he had sex with, too, because they should have wrapped it up, too.
Absolutely.
And they shouldn't be putting all this blame on him. Yeah, they're upset. It's an awful thing that happened to them. But, I mean, you have to accept some responsibility as well.
On both sides.
Right. And then three, at the school, I can't even believe it.
I'm going to put the school on black. Linwood University.
Linwood.
Don't even allow a GSA. And his story's been compared to, in that town, there was another instance where a phlebotomist, this is terrible.
Uh-oh.
A phlebotomist who wanted to get out of child support infected his baby with HIV.
Are you fucking kidding me?
He's now been sentenced to prison, but I think to equate both of those stories on the same level is absolutely not the same
thing. The phlebotomist is guilty, hands down. Right. That's awful. A baby does not consent to shit.
No. Okay, I'm going to read you two statistics.
Okay.
One is that 80... So there has been, like, 15 studies over the past 12 years of how often do people who are HIV positive... Wait, I think... No. This first one is, I think, like, how often do people ask about...
Oh, okay, yeah.
About, like, status.
Are you HIV positive?
Yes.
Okay.
It's either that or... I'm so sorry. I didn't write the other note.
It's okay.
It's either... The statistic is one of these two things, but it's just going to show you how convoluted this whole entire thing is.
Mm-hmm.
It's either that or the statistic is showing how much people disclose their status.
Oh, so it's kind either have you asked or have you told?
Yes.
Okay.
So over 12 years, 15 studies, the range was like 89% to 42%.
What?
So it's a very wide range, and like between like all the studies.
That's through all the years. Range.
And in 2012, it was reported that 69% of HIV-positive gay men disclosed their status to their partners.
How many percent?
69%.
That's...
But it's not everybody.
It's not everybody.
I mean, I think we have to be very careful that we start running around jailing people and stuff for this. Right. Like, again, absolutely, yes, because we're not talking about sex, it just, I feel like he's being criminalized.
It's so taboo.
To send him to prison for 30 years, I feel like, I think it's messy, and I feel like it's so unfair that he's getting all the blame put onto himself.
And the way that it was portrayed in the media, from what I remember, they made it seem like he knew what he was doing, and that he was just this on a rampage, infecting people for fun.
And
that's not how it was.
That wasn't the case. Like, this kid is literally, he is a kid. He's operating at like a 12-year-old mindset.
Yeah.
None of his friends from the wrestling team even came to like visit him. And he was like, my only friends that I have at school are the wrestlers. And like the wrestlers had all kinds of like weird things. They were like, well, it's fine that he's gay, but none of us want to wrestle with him anymore.
Oh, my God.
And, like, in the photo, the team photo, like, everyone's got arms around each other, except, like, he's off to the side.
Really?
It's so sad. And then one of them said, like, well, he never showered with us. He was the only black guy on the team. If he was there, we would have noticed.
I can't, oh, God. This whole situation is so fucked up on so many levels.
So many. And I feel like when you read, like, the story, I encourage you to get more information about it. But I do think that, like, in the media, it's presented, again, the black male as mm-hmm. being hypersexualized and vilified.
Totally vilified.
And again, like you had said, like, everybody had been using him for his masculinity, his strength, his power. I want to read two quotes from him.
Okay.
Because I just want to kind of give him a hug. And I think I want to write him a prison letter.
Okay.
I encourage the rest of you to do so as well.
That's nice.
That would be really nice if you got like a nice flood. Like, he doesn't, it's a very, I feel bad.
Yeah. Like, so what did he say?
He says, and this was a year ago.
Okay.
This is before his sentence.
So, but he's still chilling out in jail.
Yeah. He says, I'm a hardworking college student who worked as hard as I could with a disability to get to college and try to make something of myself. He talks about his dreams. He's like, my dream for my life is to continue with college, get my bachelor's degree, and become a role model for people that are struggling to be gay, just as I was struggling. Mm. I hope to go off to the Olympics.
Aww.
And the other thing that's really sad is that there are no national groups that took up his cause. Like, so usually there would be some group to sort of, you know, this could be an opportunity to change, like, criminalization of people who are HIV positive.
Right.
And just how it sort of looked at.
Yeah.
And nobody took up, like, no, not a single organization took up his cause.
And I think that points to how stigmatized and messy this whole thing is.
Right.
And that we need to change perceptions. It's not 1988 anymore.
It's not. But, and like, also these rules and these laws, it's proven, I don't know where the quote is, but that when black men get sentenced for something like this,
mm-hmm.
it's obviously for, they get usually at least 10 more years than a white person who does it. So, just by being black and doing this crime, by being black and doing this of what is viewed as like a crime, you get like a longer sort of
sentence,
yeah. There's laws that still need to be reformed. Did you know that in Alabama, it was just up until the year 2000, it was still illegal to have biracial marriages up until the year 2000.
Up in the year 2000?
And it was put up for popular vote, and it won by 60%.
So people were ready.
Well, won by 60%, but like 40% of the population still was like, no biracial marriages.
For some reason, I was kind of like, that's better than I thought it would be.
In that case, 2015.
I know. Or, well, it was 2000. It's sad. But it's just like, I need to have more faith in people. But when stuff like this happens, it's kind of like, let's change our point of views a little bit. Let's open it up.
Yes.
And try and realize that you and your kind aren't the only type that live in the world.
Absolutely.
You know?
I just think, like, my heart really goes out for him.
Yeah.
I mean, to be, you know, he was, like, 19, 20 when this whole entire thing really started.
I didn't know what the fuck I was doing when I was 19 or 20.
Yeah, and I just think that so much blame has just been put onto him as opposed to this being a much larger conversation about how we discuss sex and STDs and HIV and AIDS.
We need to be way more open.
The way that we talk and handle people who are who do have HIV and AIDS, and how we look at black hypersexualization.
Exactly. Or neutered sexualization, which happens to women a lot of times.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It's crazy. Well, I say wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
And if you don't have something to wrap up, or if you are not the one wrapping it up, make sure the other person's wrapping it up.
As my therapist says, you should always be carrying a condom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies, even though you don't have a penis, carry a condom.
Carry a condom. It's on you as well. Unless right. you want the worst STD ever, which is a baby.
I'm going to leave that one alone. I know people that have babies.
I know those people okay. who have babies. Hi, Stephanie. I'm
sure Shout out to Stephanie. I hung out with her today.
Okay. We got to go to our next corner. But
do you Wrap wanna... it up.
Wrap it up, Stephanie.
Hey, James.
Hey, girl. I love being a teen.
I know. It's fun. So what do teens like to do?
They braid
like,
each other's hair.
Braid each other's hair.
Touch their boobs and penises.
Have some pillow sex. Fights.
And play kissing games.
Also, ooh, we're getting playing games. Like video games? Teens like to play video games. Oh, shit.
I love playing video games.
Yeah.
Not that I'm a teen.
But when I was. Yeah.
There was a time when I was like, I'll never stop playing video games ever.
And?
I don't play them.
Aww.
It's just, you just hard got to too like busy keep to... up with the systems, and they got double joysticks. And like, I mean, I ain't got time for this.
And adults play video games. It's popular, but usually you get your interest when you're a teen, correct?
Yes, this is correct.
So a lot of times they want to infuse the two and make them educational.
Yes. Ooh.
Including this Dora company called Serious Games.
I've heard of them.
You have?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I just feel like I have.
It sounds very... It's serious. Serious Games. So they have a whole series that's called Playing History.
Oh, God. I don't like where this is going. Hey, you trapped me! I'm devastated
so
already.
So they have one of the series. The first one was Vikings. The second one was Plague. What could the third one be?
Well, first of all, do those Vikings rape and pillage? Because that's what they did.
Oh, we'll get back.
Oh, God. Well, they don't. Is that part of
the game? They don't.
Because
but,
those Rockstar games, it's like you get points for beating up prostitutes.
I know. This one. Whoo, hold on to your butt, James.
Okay. So this game, Vikings?
No, this game is called Playing Slaves. History 2 Slave Trade.
I'm done. I'm done. Fuck you. Fuck you. I'm writing a lot.
You're not even ready. Just wait.
No.
Wait.
Oh, this is the worst corner ever.
Wait.
I'm upset. Oh, this is terrible.
You're not going to get excited about this.
This is for kids.
So the tagline of Serious Games is experience engaging and personal stories set in exhilarating points in world history.
Okay.
Exciting
and exhilarating. I would not call the slave trade exciting and exhilarating.
So the game Slave Trade... It's a little tone deaf. You play a slave guy who's like working with a slave trader to trade, and he realizes that it sucks, so he's trying to escape slavery. It's clunky.
Okay.
But we're not going to talk about that right now.
So it's like 12 Years a Slave, but from like a slave owner's perspective.
But a slave talking to a slave owner. It's weird.
Oh. So it's 12 Years a Slave, the video game.
Basically. Okay. With a tiny mini game in the middle. You ready for this tiny mini game?
Like a puzzle?
It's Tetris.
It's a puzzle.
But with slaves in a boat.
No! You're fucking kidding me.
I wish I was.
You know, I wish that we were in a time period where we could laugh and giggle about something like this. And you know what's fucked up? They would never do a Holocaust, the video game.
Never. They would... In the Vikings and the Plague, there's none of this shit in there. Who in their right mind would be like, hey, this is a great idea. They had to stack slaves in boats. Let's just turn it into Tetris.
And there had to have been, like, staff meetings about this, and people had to spend their fucking time.
Right.
And to, like, design this.
Oh, God.
And you know what this makes me think of? Is, like, how, I bet you there's not a single person of color who works for that company.
Oh, hell no.
Because this would not have happened.
So this is a European game, but still.
Fuck you, Europe.
Right.
Shit and giggles from that side of the pond.
So it was created in 2013, and then it was released. And then, so Steam, have you heard of Steam?
Oh, yeah, I had a Steam account, but I had
so
to,
So what is Steam? Is it,
Steam
like
Steam is, like, an online, like, the gives you access to a bunch of different, like, video games.
Okay.
Like, there's a Marvel game that... Oh. But it's...
They probably don't stack slaves in the Marvel
game. No, I was running around as the Scarlet Witch.
Ooh.
Be-hixing people.
You needed to be-hix these damn video game creators.
Scarlet Witch would not allow for this shit to happen. She does not like anyone being impressed.
So, okay. So... it joined Steam in 2014, and since it got exposed to so many people in 2014, people were like, hold up.
Good.
What is this? So people were getting pissed. Yes. And they were like sending Twitters. They were writing letters. They were doing what normal people do. And the CEO of the company, his name is Simon Edgefelt Nielsen. We're dusting off a spot in the corner for this guy. Yeah. Dust it off.
Can we just throw him in the corner already?
Dust it. Okay. Well, just clean off a nice... Actually, no. Keep it dusty. Okay. Throw some dirt in there.
I'm going to put some feces.
Put some doo-doo feces some in that corner for him to sit down on.
And some placenta that attracts bears. Because he's about to
dig himself a doo-doo feces hole right now because he's an idiot. So... people were mad, so they took out the mini game and they took out the Tetris clip from the advertisement trailer.
Okay. Like, stack slaves. Get as many points as you can.
And if you make see these money. Fucking slaves, they look like the most ridiculous looking black people. They're wearing loincloths with like giant eyeballs, looking all scared. It's terrible.
So, like, wrong on every fucking level. Every
fucking level. So. They issued the most non-apology I've ever heard in my life.
Can't wait to hear it.
The game and trailer was updated Monday. Slave Tetris has been removed as it was perceived to be extremely insensitive by some people.
So they don't understand that it's insensitive at all? Like, not at all. And you call it Slave Tetris. Like, that name alone, that's a red flag. I'm like, wait a minute, Slave Tetris, that, oh, you know what, let's just use blocks. Oh, you know what, let's not have this guy be a slave at all. I'm sorry
some people are insensitive about our Slave Tetris. You could blame them, but we took it out. That's basically what that says.
And here's honestly, if they really wanted to create this and tell this story, they could have just made it all Martians.
I know.
And they could have had a race of people that was being enslaved. That's what science fiction
does all the time.
Just science fiction. We could do
Martian Tetris.
You could have done like, yeah, the Nairobians. Wait, no, that's a country. Yeah, wait, no. Naboo. I was thinking of Star Wars.
Woo-wee.
Wow. The Naboo. Fox
News, get it in there.
It's still in my head. Get out of here, Fox and
Help
friends.
Yourself. Okay, so let me... So people weren't happy about that.
Oh, they weren't?
Apology.
Really? Oh, yeah.
They weren't. People were kind of like, wait a minute. That's kind of a fucked up apology,
it's
sir.
It's not an apology at all.
So,
it's like, sorry you got offended.
It's exactly a sorry you got offended. So CEO Simon Edgefelt Nielsen released a statement. And his statement read like this. You ready?
No, but you're going to read it anyways.
Maybe there is just a lot of cultural differences in what you can discuss and express. And maybe, just maybe, there are larger issues at stake here than whether Slave Tetris was bad taste or not. And maybe, as a lot of tweeters say, a stupid white Dane like me don't know anything and shouldn't be allowed to say a single word about the story of African Americans. What do I know? We tried to make a game to teach about what we thought was an important topic. We did spend a lot of time doing it. We did consult the experts. Who the fuck were the experts that were like, yeah, that's good. That's accurate.
Like John, who graduated from my high school with my high school government teacher. And he was like, is this a good idea? And he was like, yeah.
That's good. I have reached the conclusion that no matter what we have done, it would have been wrong.
Yes. The answer is yes. And unless, like, if you really wanted to make a game that was about the fucked upness of it, I mean, you could do, like, a Django Unchained, maybe.
Just don't do it!
That's true.
Just don't do it!
Yeah. Like, there's some things of, like, and you know what? He's like, wah, wah, wah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you were wrong.
You're wrong, dude. The point of
it is, you fucked up. You were wrong.
You're wrong.
Go away. This was a dumb idea.
But here's the worst part about the whole thing. He has been defending this goddamn Slave Tetris for years now. He's released that statement, but a year ago, he released another statement.
Why is he still talking?
And he was saying, I think it's a real shame that a lot of people are so ignorant towards the potential of games for more than entertainment. Like any medium or tool, it can be used for good or evil. It's our aim to reach people that would normally not reflect or learn about this subject. What? I have a feeling that many of the negative reactions here are knee-jerk reactions and sheeps following what others say.
It can't get worse.
Please take time to look.
Our intern is getting outraged. Our intern, our six-year-old intern, almost flipped over this table. Calm down. It's okay.
It's okay.
It's okay. He's not.
Calm down.
He's just words, sort of. Fuck this person.
Trust me, nobody is laughing or finding it a joke to play that kind of Tetris. Why did you name it Tetris?
Why did you name it
Slave Tetris? Why did you name it Slave Tetris? And why would that
be part of the game to, like, I gotta make as much... Like, It was terrible. People died. Are you also like considering that like,
I know.
Is it more of a like? There's no way. Just don't make this game. There's no point.
Even worse, he goes in response to commenters about how they're being too sensitive and how we are going towards a closed society where sensitive and controversial subjects are not welcomed in public because it causes an outcry for focusing on motives and persons rather than the subject, which stops any open debate. I wanted to highlight that because a lot of people don't realize that this is a tactic that's used constantly against people who want to speak out against injustice.
True.
I've been hearing it a lot. The PC police, the, oh, you're just being sensitive.
Even
oh,
Miley Cyrus against Nicki Minaj was like, it's commenting the way that she responded back to it. But yeah, the PC police. I hate hearing that bullshit.
So, one, when we talk about these things and we say that it's wrong, it's not us trying to censor. It's us trying to defend our dignity.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. We live in a world where we're different. We all have beautiful differences. And we don't want to be made fun of for them. And we don't want our history to be seen as a Tetris game. So if you ever find yourself wanting to use that term of being like, oh, now I gotta watch what I gotta say. Oh, everybody's PC, everybody's sensitive. Think about a minute why somebody might be sensitive about what you're trying to say. Yeah. And it's so easy. I feel like an idiot for trying to explain this to people.
Actually, I feel like you actually just put it in the most simple way that I've actually ever even heard it. And like people actually, like you just say base level, sometimes people don't want to be made fun of. And maybe there's some things that like, you know, that there's, if I know you, we can joke around about, but right. On a broad sense, and some things are just so, have so much hurt and pain to them that people don't want to talk about them. So move on to something else.
Right.
Like, I don't understand why defend your right to be able to make this joke or to make that
right.
Whatever. And I think a lot of it really is, it sounds like to me, this guy mm-hmm. is taking it more personally, that whole entire thing of like, I'm not a racist.
Right.
So he's jumping to that. And the more that you defend yourself that you're not a racist, the more that you actually just really are. And actually
right.
Admit that there's some, this whole entire thing is an example of systemic racism.
Yes.
And that how it's just so embedded and so, it's so deep and him not being able to see it and his team of people not being able to see.
Oh, let's just stack some people because people in the past thought that they weren't people. So it's okay for us to play Tetris with them now. No, homie. I'm sorry. That's wrong.
Yeah.
Get in the corner, Simon, for one, creating it, and two, defending it for hella long.
You're fucking stupid. I know you're listening. And when you make Minority Corner the video game podcast.
Don't stack us.
Don't you stack us. You better step it up.
Don't you dare stack us.
Make me hella cute.
Make me cute too.
And I want like superpowers. I'm gonna fly.
You basically want to be the Scarlet Witch, right? But James.
Yes. Yeah. And Captain America a bit. Which. Side note, it's nothing to do with anything you just discussed.
All right, let's go there.
Chris Evans said that he's happy to play Captain America forever, which is a huge turnaround.
I know, because he didn't even want
not he was like, I'm done, I don't want to do this anymore.
He must have had hella fun in that last movie.
Yes, I mean, like, he's just having a blast, and he's making hella money, and the movies are really good. And he even said, he's like, Marvel's movies are amazing, I'm having a blast, I'm working with great producers and directors, I'm in.
You know what happened? He tried to make some, like, sentimental sad movies, and they didn't get greenlit. Yeah. And he was like, fuck.
Snowpiercer was good, though. Did you see Snowpiercer?
No, I didn't.
Homework. Go do it. See Snowpiercer.
Is it on Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go see it.
Anyways, fuck. Who's this guy?
Don't play Simon.
Well, obviously don't play
Simon Edgefield Tetris Nielsen. Slave Stack. Don't play Slave Tetris. And don't try and PC police people. Just be like, yes, if you're offended, I'm sorry.
Yeah, or even it's like, maybe you don't even understand why someone's being offended, and you don't have to maybe understand it, but just stop doing it.
And don't say, I'm sorry you're offended.
Like, if I tell you when you punch me, it hurts, don't keep punching me.
Right, or be like, I'm sorry your arm's weak and can't handle my punch.
Yeah, fuck you. You can't handle the slap of my hand on your face. I love you, I hate you. I hate you. You are super focused today.
I'm ready. I'm staring at you. I'm
like
giving you eyeballs.
Ready for her fucking quiz today.
Give me that corner.
I got two quizzes for you today.
Oh,
I'm
snap.
Get through them real quick.
Let me get a little sip of water.
So this one is a. Get it. Get your water. Here we go. Sip it up.
Okay, let's do it.
Now she's ready.
Let's do it.
Okay, this is about Joe Biden and gays.
Oh, no. I don't know anything about this. Okay.
One of these is a lie.
All right.
So after marriage equality was passed, there are there are photos.
Yes.
That after marriage equality was passed, Joe Biden draped himself in a rainbow flag and sashayed up and down the halls of the White House. Maybe that happened.
Okay.
Maybe these photos.
Okay.
Two, Biden says that he'll never forget the time he was a teen driving with his dad and saw two men in business suits kiss. And his dad said, "Joey, they love each other. It's simple. They love each other. It's simple." Maybe that happened.
Okay.
Third one, Biden is set to perform a gay wedding at the White House for two lesbian staffers. One of those is a lie.
One of them is a lie?
Do you think all of them
No,
are lies?
That just makes me like Joe Biden, because they're all really great. I really, I'm going to say he probably didn't sashay up and down the hall as much as I would love for him to do that. He probably didn't do that.
So, this was a trick one, because while he didn't do that, there are photos of him that someone photoshopped.
Oh!
Biden's not performing a gay wedding at the White House. But there was a gay wedding at the White House recently.
Oh. Rest in peace, Joe Biden's son, too. So sad.
What?
His son, who was 43, died of a brain tumor.
Recently?
Like a month ago.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it was cracked in the news. Case. It was so sad.
Oh, that's really sad.
But I'm so glad that he said the thing about his dad being all simple about, like, yeah, they just love each other.
And I kind of wish I do wish that the photos look great.
They look good.
I got it. And Obama's behind him clapping.
Yes.
Cute. I got to do one more quiz for
you. Let's do it.
Because this is a crazy thing that.
I'm ready.
This is a crazy thing. So this is about the director F.W. Minrahu, who directed Nosferatu.
Okay.
So it's about him.
Okay.
So he directed the movie Nosferatu.
Okay.
So this is about
spooky.
Him. So one of these things. One of these things did not happen.
Okay.
He grew up as a Boy Scout.
Okay.
He died while giving a blowjob to a young Filipino man. They were driving.
Okay.
Greta Garbo, after he died, Greta Garbo commissioned a death mask of his face and kept it on her desk.
Okay.
Recently, what they believe is a cult cut off his head out of his tomb and took it.
One of these is not true?
Yes.
One of them.
One of those isn't true.
This is the weirdest, freakiest life of my life. And I love it. I love it.
One of those isn't true.
Only one of those things.
I had to get you. You were getting A pluses, and I had to get you today.
I don't even know. Okay. What was the first one again?
That he was a Boy Scout.
That's likely.
Okay. Which one do you think didn't happen?
I'm going to say that... God, I want all of them to be true. I want every single one of those except for him being a Boy Scout to be true. I'm going to say Boy Scout's a lie just because I want every single one of them to be true.
You're right. All of those things are true. Isn't that crazy?
What?
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, recently a cult, like they believe they found like melted wax at his tomb and his head was missing. They cut off his head.
Oh my God.
And took it.
And he died while giving a blowjob to a young Filipino man driving down the street?
Yes. Well, that's at least the rumor, but...
See, yeah. Roadhead, y'all, don't do it.
Don't do it.
I've never done it because it's scary.
Yeah, it is. I have done it.
Were you scared?
I was, like, giving it, so hopefully they were paying attention.
See, I would probably give the worst BJ ever because I'd be scared. I'd be like, are your eyes on the road?
Oh, yeah.
Are your eyes on the road?
That is... You're right. It's dangerous. I was young and 20 and stupid.
Yeah,
but Greta Garbo.
She was like, give me his face.
Put it on her desk.
Just on her desk.
Yeah.
Would she talk to it?
Probably. But she probably would act to it. She was like, F.W. Munarahu Nosferatu. How was that monologue? I am Greta Garbo.
This is the best Quizlet ever.
Yay, good job, Aneke.
Oh my God, I can't believe I did it.
Today, but congratulations.
I totally thought I was going to ruin it.
Because
I just really wanted all the other ones to be true.
And they were. You got your wish.
Life fulfilled.
Okay. traveling back in time to a history corner. This corner's old.
Ish. It's old. So we're going into History Corner. It's called Back to the Future Corner.
And is this about Back to the Future, the movie?
Nope.
Oh.
It is about someone in the past predicting the present.
Do you know, can I just throw this in here? I'm going to. But do you know I got really excited when I was a kid when I learned you could rent movies from the library?
It's really cool.
People are
still really excited that they can rent movies from the library.
Is it like VHS tapes, though?
They got DVDs now.
Oh, okay.
They got DVDs, they got VHS, they got CDs.
How does
it
hook up to my Netflix account?
Ooh, here's a tip. Go to the library, check out a CD, burn it to your computer, return the CD.
I can't believe you just told our listeners that. That is shady. You're going to get kicked out of like the library Illuminati.
I'm already, my card has been petitioned for so many years.
That's like telling me to like go to the library, rent a book. Is that what they call it? Rent a book. And
check out a book.
I don't have time for your jargon, your jibber jab.
Oh my god.
And then go to Kinko's and copy the book.
That's time. That's too much.
And then tell people I wrote it.
That's too much.
Here's my new book, that's plagiarism. 50 Shades of Grey. That's what you just told me to
that's
do.
That's the book that you're copying?
I'm going to make some money.
There's so many better books out there.
I'm going to make money.
And then she basically did that with Twilight.
Shh, my little secret.
Oh my god. Okay, History Corner. Mm-hmm. So today we're going to be talking about Nikola Tesla.
Oh, I love him.
He's great. So basically, just a little recap. Nikola Tesla.
Or Tessie for short.
Tesla, not the car. The car is named after.
Didn't he build it?
No.
Okay.
He is an inventor that died in 1943.
So sad.
But here's the thing. Everybody gives electricity. Who's the father of electricity?
God.
No, come on. Come on.
My mother?
Stop it, James!
Oh, Benjamin Franklin.
No!
Oh. It's been a long time since I missed that day in history class. That science guy.
Edison.
Bill Nye. Fred Astaire.
Edison.
Oh, yeah. Thomas Edison.
Thomas Edison was a dickhole. Thomas Edison was a copy hack dickhole.
Oh, he stole things from that one guy.
Tesla.
Yes.
So he stole the idea of electricity.
There's a Simpsons episode about
yes. this. And what was it, the phonograph or whatever? He stole that, the phone. He stole it from Tesla. Mm-mm. And he used to go around and, like, electroshock an elephant because he was just a sadistic bastard.
That's like me, like, going around on carpet and, like, dragging my feet and then going up to you and shocking you.
Maybe a little bit more.
It's on the same level. Mm. Somewhat.
All right. I'll let it slide.
Okay.
I am beautiful like an elephant. Who mourned their deceased, by the way. I just found that out. It's really beautiful and sad.
So stop killing elephants.
Stop it. Their tusks aren't worth it. They mourn their deceased. Okay, anyways, moving on. So Tesla. He, basically father of everything amazing and electric. He was also a big old weirdo.
Well, you know.
He loved pigeons.
He's like Oprah.
He basically had a pigeon that... He's kind of considered his girlfriend.
Stop it. I'm done. I'm leaving this corner. He took a turn. I can't. You're talking about this bird man.
But with weirdness comes genius. My mom always says...
What does she say?
Maybe she won't agree to this, but I swear she told me this at some point.
Think outside the box.
I swear she told me this at some point. When you're just that smart, you give up some things.
Yeah.
And you usually give up social skills. So I'm kind of glad I'm not that smart. But most really, really smart people have some weird shit going on.
They're weird.
They're weird.
And that's
because
fine.
They had to fill their brain with smartness, not with social attributes.
Yeah.
That's why Nikola Tesla had a pigeon girlfriend.
And that's why you get people like me to play their roles in a movie.
Sure.
But according to Hollywood, I can't play that part.
Well, you can't. Well...
What?
You can't play Nikola Tesla.
The box, Aneke. Thanks for
well, he's a real
me.
Person.
According to you, all I can play is Daddy Jones.
Oh, Daddy
Still
Jones.
Not letting go of that one.
Daddy Jones, welcome Dear back. You mean Papa Johnson?
Papa Johnson. I'm so mad at you.
I think tell about the Papa pizza Johnson. For some reason.
You were hungry? Anyways, tell me about Nikola Tesla Birdman.
Nikola Tesla. So he was interviewed in 1926. And
I love that year.
1926, he said this. He goes, when wireless is perfectly applied, the whole earth will be converted into a huge brain, which in fact it is, all things being particles of a real and rhythmic whole. So he's saying everybody's going to be connected when wireless really takes off. This is in 1926. And then he goes, television and telephony, we shall see and hear one another as perfectly as though we were face to face.
Did he say telephony?
Yeah, but I mean, they kind of, this was a new thing.
Idiot.
They're like, you know, Jim Jamboree.
As smart as he claims he was. The telephony. Okay.
I'm going to let that slide because that's just you talking.
Well, that's just me. Last time I checked, I don't go around throwing words that don't exist.
This was before things even happened.
Well, if he's this great predictor of all technology, he should have known that no one's going to call it telephony.
Nothing lives up to James' standards.
Stop trying to make telephony happen.
Nothing lives up to James' standards. 1926. So he goes, as though we were face to face, despite intervening distances of thousands of miles. And the instruments, though, which we shall be able to do this with, will be amazingly simple compared with our present telephones, which is true. A man will be able to carry one in his vest pocket. Which is a cell phone.
Well, no one uses a vest pocket these days, though. I mean, some people do. I mean, he was a little off.
He predicted the technology, not the fashions.
he is not as great.
Why
as
are you poo-pooing this amazing thing?
I just think that if you're gonna be great, like, be great. Don't, you know. I'm not cheering that crazy man on my stoop because he didn't throw bird poop at me. You're not pleased that I'm not.
I am not happy right now. This is amazing. He's a very smart man who was afraid of women because he thought women were very smart. Here's another quote of his. The female mind has demonstrated a capacity for all the mental acquirements and achievements of men. And as generations ensue, the capacities will be expanded. The average woman will be as well educated as the average man, and then better educated, for the dormant facilities of her brain will be stimulated to an activity that will be all the more intense and powerful because of centuries of repose. Women will ignore precedents and startle civilization with their progress.
What a kook. Just kidding. Totally just kidding. That's great. What a batshit crazy man.
I am eyeing you right now. What a batshit
crazy man. First the vest pocket, the telephony, and now this jargon? No wonder. Edison, way to go. I'm just kidding. No, this is great. This is wonderful.
He's awesome!
But what I will say, he damn near predicted Skynet.
He did predict Skynet.
So did he talk about how this is actually like an evil thing that's going to destroy us all?
No! He thought it was amazing. Him and his pigeon girlfriend.
Well, him and Pigeon Girlfriend, like, didn't mention about, like, what has every movie about science fiction and robots taught us?
Don't.
That robots will destroy us.
I don't understand why people have to, why people are so intent on creating artificial intelligence. We don't need it.
We know how this
ends. We don't need it.
And why did we name the cloud? Skynet was named Skynet. Like,
everybody thinks it's in the cloud, but it's just in a giant server in, like, Ronkonkoma.
Well, Skynet was just a giant server until it, like, sent its rockets to destroy us.
It's not going to happen.
The Matrix, the robots came and killed us.
Okay, so a piece of me is like, ooh, scary artificial intelligence, but another piece of me has a cell phone that barely works.
Yeah, now. But we're talking about our great-great-grandchildren who'll be murdered by robots.
I don't think so. As long as it's raining, these computers are not going to work.
My great-great-grandfather didn't even have a computer, and now we have
computers
them.
Computers can't handle water.
Think about how fast things are running.
Computer's got to plug in.
No, I can put my phone out in the rain and it's fine.
Can you open it up and put it out in the rain?
Like, open it? Why would I do that?
Doesn't it lose a charge at some point
and
you got to plug it in?
The machine will eventually learn how to do it all on its own.
I get scared, but I don't think it's going to happen.
You should be scared.
I would be more scared if I saw better examples.
But what if I was a robot from the... You're not going to... You're going to be dead before this happens.
How do you know?
Okay, you might live forever.
I got hella good genes.
You and Tesla and his...
My genes and my jeans. Looking good, feeling good, living forever. That's the name of my book.
Oh, it's a long title.
It works.
Just put your telephony in your breast pocket, smart lady.
Vest pocket.
Oh my god.
What?
Did you hear about the woman? This is a very sad story.
Oh,
I'm sorry,
no.
I'm laughing.
What is this? I don't know what to expect.
Oh my God. This woman, she like got lost in the woods. What? She got lost. She got lost in the woods. What? She's 9 months pregnant.
What?
I'm sorry, I'm laughing.
Stop laughing. Okay. I'm scared.
She was 9 months pregnant, uh-huh. got lost in the woods, uh-huh. gave birth to her baby, lost pregnant in the woods.
What?
And then she's like, oh my God, she gave birth, right? Yeah. And then the placenta is very, like, sweet and sticky, and it attracted bees and mosquitoes.
This so,
like,
is terrible.
A swarm of bees and mosquitoes what? Attacked this woman.
She had just given birth. Did she cut the umbilical cord?
I don't, okay, so she, like, I don't know. I think she was, like, maybe using it to fend off the bees or something. So she's like, like the bees are attacking her, and then she set the forest on fire. She was trying to start like a signal fire to like have someone to come rescue her.
Where was this?
And this was in Oroville, California, and she ended up burning down half of the mountain because they saw the fire happening. Yeah, apparently she was like driving home from the casino.
When did this happen?
This happened like this week, like. What? Yeah, and like the headline is crazy. The headline literally reads like, woman gives birth, fends off bees, and sets wildfire to the forest. Like,
what
that's
is she
literally
even
the
doing
headline.
Right now?
I don't know. She's like in the hospital. Like,
this is nuts.
But you know why? The only reason why this story is sort of funny is because she's alive. Has she died?
Yeah, then it would be really tragic. Like, this one story that I feel kind of bad about because this guy set a firework off of his head.
Oh.
And then he died.
Oh, see, that's not, see, that's sad. Not, that's just a sad story.
Why did he but set this a woman, firework off at the top of his head?
Well, yeah, but that's just sad.
I don't
like,
think.
Because you imagine, like, giving birth is, like, the worst, well, like, it's a,
well, yeah,
it's a long, like, experience, right?
Yeah, it's like
so
hours.
She just did this thing. She's, like, in the woods by herself. She's like, oh, I did it. Oh, my
and
God.
And the bees
Oh, God,
come.
The bees. Oh, there's bees everywhere. And she's, like, swarming. And she's, like, then, she's, like, okay, I'm just going to start a fire. Then the, oh, God, the mountain's on fire.
And she started a fire. I've watched a lot of episodes of this one TV show called Naked and Afraid. And
she was, like, pregnant.
She was straight up, like,
she named her daughter Amber. That's the woman's name. Amber named her daughter Marissa. I would have named my daughter, like, Triumph. Like, after
These
that.
These names are crazy. She like, needs the name.
Oh, Amber.
They're so boring. She needs the name herself, Bear. And
yeah.
then she needs the name her
Bear
child.
Onse.
Yes.
Because, like, she is,
something
like,
wildernessy
Queen Bee.
And crazy.
She
Not
was,
this,
and
like,
she survived on four
Amber.
Apples. She was, like, out there, and she
what?
Had, like, four apples.
But back to, like, Naked
okay.
and Afraid, it takes
yeah.
them, like, 12 days to set a fire sometimes because they just don't know what to do.
Not Amber.
Maybe
Amber is, like, wilderness girl. Like, she actually, like, she took a shortcut. The story's going on for way
what?
Too long. But she was driving home from the casino, and she started going to labor, and so she was going to her parents' house, and she decided to take a shortcut, and then she got lost, and then that's what happened to Amber.
That went from one extreme of a boring, weird, oh, pregnant lady at a casino
yeah.
to a crazy wilderness,
yeah.
wild, husky woman of triumph.
Well, originally, the first time I heard the story, I heard she was hiking, and I was like, why was she hiking by herself 9 months
pregnant?
I know, and
like, yeah, like, about to pop, I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go stroll in the woods.
At first, I thought maybe she was one of those people who didn't know she was pregnant, and she was like, oh. I'm hiking, and I keep gaining all this weight, and
What's
I don't understand. And then there it is.
There's
yeah.
my baby.
So, lots to be, you know, Amber has lots to celebrate this 4th of
she
July
She should come
season.
On this show.
I would love Amber. I know
Amber,
you're listening.
Come on the show.
Have you and baby Marissa. Oh, and when she set fire to the forest, she said to her baby, she said, oh no, Marissa, I think mommy started a forest fire.
Did she really say that? She was quoted in saying that?
Yeah, that was like her interview. And then she giggled and like chuckled. She was like, I'm just glad to be alive.
What?
Yeah. Amber. She should teach like wilderness classes.
Oh, Amber. Amber, I love you.
Ty is a pedantic person. I think when he pronounces these words, it's in a very show-off-y way. Gyro.
Yiro.
Sacre bleu.
Sacre bleu.
Ayers Rock.
Uluru.
What you are witnessing is real. The participants are not actors. They are actual litigants with real cases. They call in via Skype to Judge John Hodgman's court, the real people's court. Now I call you to Judge John Hodgman's internet court. Find it at MaximumFun.org or wherever you download podcasts.
And we're back.
Hi.
Hey, girl. All right, so we're about to wrap this episode 4. We've almost been around for a month.
That, I'm very proud of us.
We're doing it. And, I, you know, every episode, you know, audio sometimes gets better. It's like two steps forward, and three steps back. We're just like Paula Abdul and MC Scat Cat.
We're trying.
It's so sad. Like, Paula Abdul's always been a little nutty because she was like, hey, I have this great idea. Me and a dancing cat.
People love that video.
People love MC Scat Cat. But the poor guy who actually like sang it, no one knows what he looks like. I'm sure he laid that track down and he was like, oh man, I can't wait for the video. And she's like, sorry, it's just me and a dancing cat.
I feel so sorry for people who are featured on a song and they never ever get the credit that they deserve.
Like, that movie is, like, probably playing, like, you know, in a movie theater. You know, before, when they used to play music in a movie theater?
Where are we now?
They used to play music in a movie.
In the 1990s?
Before they would play a movie, and there'd be, like, music playing beforehand.
Okay. Here's a tune.
And MC Scat Cat's probably, like, sitting there with his friends, and he's like, hey, that's me. And they're like, shut the fuck up.
That's a cartoon. That's a cartoon, Richie.
He has the worst friends ever, because they're like, shut up. We don't want to listen to this music. Eat my popcorn. there's some things that we didn't get to discuss in our opening corner bit, just to touch on, to make sure people are aware of in the news.
Yes, you always gotta be open to what's happening in the news. Yes. Don't let stories just fade into the background.
Right. And, something that was happening, eight churches have been burned in the South since, the Charleston shooting massacre.
Good to just always recognize this, that the issue didn't just end with taking down some Confederate flags. It's showing
which are still up.
Which are still up, which are still, I don't know, just gaining power or whatever. So we need to be conscious of what's happening.
And that these things are racially charged. That it wasn't that it was just like some isolated, like, he was just going, like, we all know it's up. Like, that's, we understand what's happening. And the KKK are having a, which, they're, I didn't realize this, but this group is actually, they're called the Loyal White Knights. This is a ridiculous name.
Stupid name.
They have a Grand Dragon. This is like crazy.
Yeah, the KKK always have the Grand Dragon.
That's crazy.
That's
it's
the
like,
name of their
like,
leader.
It's like they're like playing like Lord of the Rings
or
something.
He wears a purple cape.
This is insane. Their costumes are ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's like this is huge. Like, this is like huge that we have this white supremacist group. They're about to do like a protest. They've gotten approved. It's freedom to assemble. So, okay. But you know, it's interesting. Nikki Haley, who is the governor of, I think she's the governor of South Carolina. She was the one that was like, no, the flag needs to stay up, but she does not approve of their protest. So that's something.
Of the KKK protest?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Grand Dragon. This is some crazy shit. Grand Dragon of the KKK.
I can't. In his purple cape.
His name is like Joan something.
Of course.
He said about the shooter for South Carolina. I don't say his name, but that terrorist guy.
Yeah, that guy.
He said that he was heading towards the right direction.
Of course. Well, he's the KKK.
He was heading towards the right direction. Oh, wait. No, he was heading towards the right direction, but hit the wrong target. He was saying that he should have aimed at all the African-American gangbangers who are selling drugs to our white youth.
What?
And raping at every chance they get. That's all we do. You know, like, we like fried chicken, watermelon, and raping.
Well, really, are you going to take seriously this guy in a purple cape who's the Grand Dragon Wizard of the Loyal
This organization is ridiculous.
It's
so,
ridiculous.
Grand Dragon, I know you're listening. I know you like to listen to Minority Corner.
You love it. It's his guilty pleasure.
You're ridiculous.
With some Twizzlers at
costume.
Night.
And like, oh, they're so like, they're going to protest and have this rally with masks over their face. Like, if you're really about this, then like, step up and do it without a mask.
I have something to say, if I can take a moment, to just give a little message to youth out there who are white and they might be getting recruited by some friendly neighborhood KKK members.
Dressed up in purple capes.
I get it. You don't have any friends. Things are rough for you right now. Don't trust these people. Take a moment. Look at these people and what they're doing. They wear weirdo capes.
They burn churches.
Their leader wears a purple cape and calls himself a Grand Dragon. Really?
Look at your life. Look at your choices.
Look at yourself. Current KKK members, look around you.
Look at your life. Look at your choices. That costume can't be comfortable in the summer.
I'm sure it's not.
In the South?
The South
it's
is hot.
You guys need to get it together.
Get it together. You are missing out on some great food.
Yes.
You're missing out on some great music. You're missing out on just some great sex, sure.
Yeah,
I don't know.
You are.
Get out of there.
Get out of there.
Diversify.
So we're going to put y'all, I was going to put Donald Trump in the corner, But instead, I'm going to put the Grand Dragon and all of his friends in the crazy costumes in the corner.
I'm still putting Michael Eisner in the corner.
Okay. Michael Eisner's going in the corner. I wish I could put Donald Trump applied.
He can go in the corner, too.
All right. He's in the corner, too. That's a lot of people in that corner.
It's a crammed corner.
It's very crammed. Do you want to give any shout-outs?
I would like to give it. You can give your shout-out first because I have to fumble with my phone.
Oh, God. So, we'd like to give a shout-out to Karen Siebold.
Karen, we love you.
She's on Facebook, and she wrote on her wall. She got involved in the conversation, and her quote was, "Monica, I'll see you at the grocery store."
Which is great because we said
exactly
to do that.
That's exactly what we said. So, thank you, Karen. Yay.
Karen was the only one that got involved in the conversation.
Yeah, this conversation it's not a conversation. It's just you and I talking at them.
I know.
Are you there?
We really want you guys to say something to us.
And if you don't mind, you know, we're starting out. Can you like us on Facebook? Also, you can write comments on iTunes.
Write comments
on iTunes. The more people that rate
us,
we start to pop up a little bit more.
We do throw some hashtags in there so people can find it that way.
Absolutely. Anything you can do to help build the community and this conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I would like to give a shout out to @ Kelly Crochets on Twitter. She retweeted.
Thanks for the retweet. Retweet. That's what the kids are calling it.
Just a retweet.
BBHMM retweet.
And she said that she was listening now, which is great. I hope you liked it, Kelly. Listen again.
Absolutely.
Tell your friends.
Tell everybody.
I crochet a lot.
You tell your mama. You tell your friends.
I'm trying to sing along.
You tell anyone who tries to understand. That's Janet Jackson.
I got it.
I think every episode we have a Janet Jackson reference.
Janet, come on the show.
Janet, yeah, she could promote her new album.
Oh my God, if Janet came on the show, that would be amazing. I wouldn't know what to say.
If she came on the show, her album would blow up.
What would you say to her?
I'd be like, "Hey, Jay," because that's what we call each other.
You're going to be that casual
and
with
that,
her?
Of course. And I'd be like, "Hey, let's do that choreography we both know." And you would just watch us dance and be so sad because you don't know it.
Because you guys would have to just dance to my singing.
Oh.
You guys would have to do.
Because we couldn't play the actual
some
music.
Singing, and then I'd be like,
because and Janet was like, she like whispers, she's like, "Hey, Neke,
that's great.
That's a really good beat.
Right,
I really like you on the album." She likes to giggle. Great episode.
Tintalizing. Bye.
Bye.
Extra Chat Corner.
So if they were to do a movie about Amber and her journey through the forest,
yes,
giving birth, running from these bees, like, it should be a Lifetime movie, but, like, they couldn't do it as a drama.
No.
It has to be a comedy.
Yeah.
It, like, would have to be, like, Kirsten Wiig.
Oh, she'd be fabulous.
It'd be amazing. Like, it's literally, like, she's Amelia Bedelia.
She's so Amelia Bedelia.
Because it's just, like, could things get any worse? And why was she at the casino? I don't know.
It's
pregnant.
Foibles.
Yeah. Took
what
a wrong turn.
Wrong?
Everything
went wrong.
Everything went wrong.
Did she step in a bucket?
Probably.
Did a piano
way.
Fall on her head?
I'm glad you're okay, Amber.
No, thank.
But like,
I'm so glad you and the baby are okay.
Because now we can have a laugh. You know, like, they say, like, when shitty things were happening to you, like, retrospect, it's like funny. She was like, "I thought I was gonna die."
It's the most bizarre story in my life.
Glad
most
you're,
bizarre.
I'm glad you and Marissa, who I think should be named Triumph, are
her,
okay.
Her baby's name needs to be something more
something
wild.
Way, like,
it needs
Queen
to be
Sheba.
Like, I know.
Like, Behemoth. Blancha.
Maybe it's Blancha.
Yeah, she just has like this epic name.
No.
Blancha. Martija.
Queen of the you're just making noises now.
Barista.
Barista. Barista. What's her last name?
Yeah, just think about her like
Barista Chianti.
Ooh, now I'm hungry.
Or thirsty.
Both.
Mugs, shirts, stickers, patches, tanks, and more are yours for the purchasing at MaxFunStore.com. Hey, you already love the podcasts, so why not take this to the next level and outfit your home and bod with our merch? MaxFunStore.com. Because if you have to wear a shirt, it should be one of ours.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.